Hi, and welcome to Rooted with Jess and Tamara. I'm Jess.
And I'm Tamara. In this episode, we'll be discussing the importance of defining your why. If you're a fan of the content in this episode, please follow us or press the subscribe button and share our podcast with a friend.
Tamara, what do you think of when you think of defining your why?
I think about my reason for pursuing my path and how it aligns with what makes life meaningful for me. I've been studying meaning and purpose, and regardless of who we are or where we live in the world, we have common sources of meaning, things like people we spend time with, the careers and goals we spend motivation on, could be our hobbies, personal growth, our service to others. But then there's our individual story and what that specifically means for us. Do we want to spend more time with our spouse? Do we want to make a difference in society? Do we want to leave a legacy? That's really personal because we each have a limited amount of time on this planet. I wish it wasn't so, but it is absolutely so. Exactly 24 hours in every day and no do-overs. So being clear on where we find meaning and how our what's next aligns with that is important because that's where the energy is. That's what will keep us going at the end of a long day when we don't feel like moving forward. And it will help us make the tough decisions about where we'll spend our precious time. If we understand what's meaningful for us or our North Star, then we can identify with more ease what work will help fulfill that purpose. And we'll also be able to identify with more ease when we're not aligned with that purpose and course correct so we can stay rooted in that path. What about you, Jess?
Defining your why is about discovering and owning the desires in your heart. I can remember a time when I generalized my why with vague answers. I used to kind of think it was just the simple answer of, I want to do this for X, Y, and Z. I'd say, I want to succeed at this business because I want more time with my family or my children or have financial security. But all of that goes almost without saying. Like, who doesn't want to have time with their family and their kids? So what I realize is that defining your why is like pinpointing your purpose by aligning with your desires and your values and your beliefs. You mentioned those important questions of, do we want to spend more time with our spouse or make a difference in society or leave a legacy? And I say, yes, it is that. And it's also, why exactly do you want what you want? Like, what are you most excited about? These are the questions I had to ask myself to really get to the bottom of it. What are you most excited about when you consider spending time with your spouse? When you think about making a difference in society, what is the spark connected to? Is it seeing people flourish in life or witness entrepreneurs be successful with wisdom you have to share, or maybe seeing more and more people experience abundance? What influence will your legacy make? So I suppose beneath the why question, there's a what question for me to really get specific with why I care so much, where the meaning is for me. And I think that those reasons, as you said, they become this foundation for what you want to create in your life. Because once you establish them, they create guideposts along the way.
I think that's really important. And a couple of things that you said, Jess, in terms of digging deeper. So I think that with defining your why, it can go, I was thinking about this morning, it can go bottom up or it can go top down. So you can start with those big questions. And sometimes those big questions are really difficult to answer in terms of what is my purpose in life? Why am I on this earth? And to dig deeper, you need to keep asking that why question. Well, why is that important? Why do I want to spend more time with that my spouse? What does that look like? What does, as you said, leaving a legacy look like? And really being able to ask that question why until you can't ask it anymore. And that's when you'll get to the root of your purpose. Whereas some other times it can go bottom up. So you can acknowledge the things that the tangible things where you like spending your time and what you like doing, and then sort of look at what's common across all of those to sort of define that greater purpose. So it's a very interesting process to go to, but fundamental to everything that follows next.
That's
So,
right.
Jess, how has that played out in your own life and journey?
Today, much of my why is associated with living a life of my own design, being the captain of my ship. When I look at what I've achieved in life, the purpose that aligns with my values has been to fully experience freedom. Freedom with my children. That's like the bottom line quality that I want is freedom with my children, my family, financial freedom, freedom to do what I want when I want, and to help others experience the same in their lives. So when I look at my experiences, what jobs I took, the business I grew, and certifications I've gained, I believe they've all been successful because freedom was at the root of it. And the times I've felt miserable and stagnant were usually times that were associated with this idea that I needed to be available to the expectations and obligations of others. Most of my life was spent as a people pleaser. And that was a default way of existing as a child and necessary for survival in many ways. But today, people pleasing goes against my ultimate desire for freedom. And that is my North Star. I will no longer do things strictly out of obligation. And through that desire, I've discovered this new path of helping others release the ties they have to external circumstances, worn out belief systems, and other various manifestations of obligation so that they can tune into what their individual and unique journey of unfoldment is asking of them. And having that be at the root, having that quality of freedom be at the root of it all for me is a fantastic way to course correct. It makes things very easy for me to say, this feels restrictive. I feel confined. This does not feel right to my mind, body, and spiritual alignment. And so the question then becomes, well, what does feel right? And that is a guidepost for me. What about you?
I love freedom as a North Star. I was smiling just as you're saying all of that and sharing your story, Jess, because you're right that by having that as your North Star, it's very easy for you to identify, or more easy for you to identify whether what you're doing is aligned with freedom. And as you said, whether it feels constrictive or not, and be able to course correct. And that's why it's so fundamental for us to do that as a first step before we go any further. When I look at my own life, my top sources of meaning at this stage of my life, because I believe it does change over time as you go through your different stages and phases, are the pursuit of goals, relationships, and beauty. And beauty is one that I literally just discovered probably 2 days ago. I realized that is what is at the root of my meaning. So when I get specific, that translates into multiple reasons or whys for building my current business, which is focused on hosting international retreats to help women identify and achieve their what's next, to find that same spark that you and I have both found, where we know to our core what we were we're meant to do or what we're meant to do at this stage in our life, and we're going after it. So my first why is rooted in the pursuit of goals, and that sounds very lofty, but I had already founded or helped launch multiple businesses, and they each serve an important purpose in my life and personal growth. But I wanted to build something for myself. I felt that at the root of my being, that I wanted to build something for myself, to create something new by taking these puzzle pieces of my life and experiences and building them into new and interesting formations and build onto them with new skills and capabilities and personal growth. So to take everything that I've learned through my corporate career in the private, public, and nonprofit sector, as an entrepreneur launching and growing multiple businesses, building a multi-path career, and then growing new skills that I've developed over the last couple of years, really since the pandemic, as a career transition coach, entrepreneur coach, meditation and mindfulness practitioner, and yoga teacher, and mold it and shape it into something super fulfilling. So it was all about bringing all of that together in the pursuit of goals and really personal growth. And then my second why is related to relationships. So I wanted to find a way to spend more meaningful time with my husband. We're both looking to transition from our 9-to-5s and also to make new and meaningful connections with others, because I found that building relationships that are really authentic and honest and that go far beneath the surface really energize and fulfill me. And I'm no longer in a place in my life where I sort of want those kind of surface level, superficial relationships. I want those deep, meaningful connections, just like the connection that I found with you. And my third why, again, one that I recently identified what it really was, is around beauty. I feel calm and centered and motivated by picturesque settings and landscapes. And that's amplified when I'm able to share them with others in my life. So something that I do several times a week, I'm located very close to a huge lake here. And I go down and I sit on the beach and I meditate, or I read, or I just look across the lake into that expansiveness, and it really lights me up. So I realize that a lot of things that I'm drawn to are around beauty. So the business that I'm building to host international retreats, it allows me to travel with my husband to, or will allow me to, not quite there yet, will allow me to travel with my husband to beautiful locations and host retreats that will, with women, that will help me build those meaningful connections and bring together my diverse skill set to provide women with a rich experience that will help them to identify and achieve their what's next. That checks all the boxes for me in terms of what brings meaning to my life. And even now, just talking about it, it excites me because I know that it is aligned, it is perfectly aligned with my why. And how I'll get there and when I'll get there, still to be determined. But I know at the root of my core that that's what I'm intended to do.
That is so good. The quality of beauty, as you are talking about, I'm like, yeah, that's a why for me. And I think it's those specifics that offer a lot of guidance when discovering our why, as well as your skill sets, that as well as the skill sets you have from the lifetime of experiences. And ultimately, I think our North Star is born from what we've experienced and what we've overcome in life, because that's where the feelings, the desires, and the longing for more or for something different comes from. The path that I'm on now as an intuitive guide and spiritual teacher came from gravitating to thoughts of higher consciousness at an early age that helped me to develop my intuition and navigate an unstable upbringing. And overall, it's helped me overcome worn out ways of parenting, were not ways of working, were not ways of thinking overall. And while I didn't know that at the time, I was just doing what felt good to my soul. And those experiences ultimately helped me to overcome the lowest point of my life, which was a depressive state that I entered after my youngest son was born, and it lasted for about a year and a half. Through that experience, I harnessed the ability to create a new sense of being and a new sense of purpose and meaning. And out of that came the desire to help others do the same. My experiences with poverty and worthiness and feeling like there was no way out created my North Star. And the energy within those experiences became my why for living the life I live now and working with others to identify what's keeping them in bondage, so to say, and then guiding them to realize an expanded way of being by releasing those ties and coming into alignment with what creates fulfillment and freedom in their lives.
That's really important, Jess, and thank you for sharing the story, your story. It's very interesting in terms of it's very personal. Our whys are very personal to us, and you talked
Definitely.
about overcoming generational trauma. So your why can be rooted in your childhood experiences, what you went through, and wanting something different and overcoming, and it can be at any stage in our life, overcoming what we have gone through can help us to identify the why and what we want that is different. At the same time, childhood experiences can point a clue to what we wanted back then. And sort of going back into that child mind that you had, and be able to kind of identify what clues there were there when you were sort of forming your life, that can come back in now and experience it. So it's very different experiences of, as you mentioned, overcoming generational trauma. But also looking for sources of meaning in other experiences that we've had
Yeah.
growing up.
Going back and seeing what was missed or what perhaps you didn't get enough of as a child, what you want to provide, and that comes through for me with my kids. What do I want to provide for them? Like, what do I want them to experience? Which does have a lot to do with what I didn't experience. It's all so influential on this individual journey.
It is, and there's clues everywhere. If we take the time and space to reflect and really sort of sink into that. And it made me think of my friend Pallav, beautiful, just a beautiful human being and a cherished friend. And she is a passionate educator, and she's traveled to unique parts of the world to teach English to students from all walks of life, from global villages to inner city and even, elite grammar schools. And as a young teacher with diverse educational experiences, she saw a need to fill what she describes as intense gaps and emotional needs through education. So to empower and make, as she says, intellectual giants of children who are often overlooked so they could feel the lightness of their youth. So she launched Helping Hands tutoring services as an act of service to help kids to get to a happy and a comfortable place so that learning can happen. And she also launched Healing Hands, which is a line of cleaner skincare products rooted in her obsession to make life better, specifically for her diabetic father and in the upbringing of her mother, who always promoted a natural lifestyle. So the act of kindness and service of massaging her parents' feet with nourishing body butter and seeing them smile made her happy and energized her. So Pallav's whys are very specific and personal to her and different than your whys and different than my whys. And so her whys for launching both Helping Hands and Healing Hands were out of her obsession to make life better for others, as an act of service to others, and to fill gaps that she saw both in education and in skincare. So nothing in Olive's why is about the money, and it never has been. It's all about acts of kindness and service and the happiness and energy that gives her. And studies have shown that money is generally not one of our key sources of meaning, but it's a sign of the times that it is moving up the list because we're not sure if we've earned enough, if we've not saved enough for retirement, if we have enough savings overall. But as a source of meaning, money isn't really a thing. It's a ticket to achieving something else of value.
What a beautiful story. Another example of how life experiences create the reasons for what we love, what we want, why we want it, and pave the path forward. The story of Paula reminds me of this Japanese practice called Ikigai, which translates to a reason for being. And it's a guide essentially used to discover your why. And I think we've already hit on so many different elements of this as we've talked. But essentially, this practice is created like a mandala of sorts, with one part being a reflection of what you love or could do for hours and just get lost in. So what creates a flow state of mind for you? For me, it's writing. I love writing about connecting the dots with spiritual insights from master teachers before us and things that I've learned throughout life. That's like my flow state. I could do that for hours. So that is considered your passion. For Pallav, it sounds like it was caring for the spiritual, mental, and physical well-being of her parents and children. That was her passion. The second part of Ikigai is to reflect upon what the world needs. So this would be your mission. And the question that comes with this is, what can you put into the world that would make it a better place? What skills can you teach? What can you create that aligns with your passion? For me, it has been workshops that I created to help others expand their consciousness of peace and presence. And it's interesting because as I created them, I did it, you know, at the very beginning, it was to help me expand my consciousness. And that turned into, I can deliver this to others. And for Pallav, it sounds like she created a skincare line that aligned with her upbringing of living a natural lifestyle. The third part is, what is something that people will pay money for? What do others find value in? What do others need in their lives? And this would be the profession aspect of it. So this for me is providing one-on-one coaching sessions and being a workshop facilitator. For Pallav, it was creating services and products that empower healthy lives. And then the fourth part of Ikigai is, what are you good at? This is your vocation. Are you a nurturer? Are you good at teaching others? Are you good at social media? That's its own career nowadays. You know, what are your talents? Something to consider here is that many people don't discover what they're really good at until later in life. And so you should always consider your skill set at every age. I recently read an article that named several well-known individuals who didn't discover what they were good at until midlife, age 40 and over. A couple of people that were mentioned in this article were Stan Lee, who my boys and I are really big fans of. And Stan Lee didn't write his first comic until he was 39. Samuel L. Jackson didn't become a Hollywood star until he was 43. Henry Ford was 45 when he created his first Model T car. And Betty White, beloved Betty White, didn't become an icon until she was 51. And that's just a small handful of people that were mentioned. So all in all, I think the teaching here is to let your life show you what your why or reason for being here is. There is no one size fits all, and there is no limit to what you are capable of. So where is the energy of your being pulling you? What sparks you? What are you good at? Let every single part of what comes to the surface be meaningful. Take it seriously, because all of that is connected to your why and to your purpose. So with that, Tamir, what do you think is important to consider about defining your why?
I want to go back first to Ikigai. Did I pronounce that right? Ikigai?
Ikigai.
How's that spelled? Just so that if folks want to look it up.
Yeah, it's Ikigai.
Beautiful. Well, one, I love mandalas. I also love that Betty White. The mandala, so,
who doesn't?
Exactly. But just that whole process and how you were able to relate it to your own journey and to Paolo's story as well. And I'm sure everyone can go through that process to really reflect on those four parts of Ikigai. And the point that you made about it's always, I'd say it's never too late, but I'd also say it's always the right time. So it doesn't matter what your age or stage is. I was reading an article on Jane Fonda just a couple days ago, and she's, I forget, I don't want to misquote, but she's either 83 or 84. And she was saying, this is the very best time of my life. And she was explaining just how everything that brought her to where she is has made her capable of doing what she's doing today. And she's still very active, probably more active than she's been at any time in her life. And look at Martha Stewart, my goodness, on the front of People magazines, or is it Sports Illustrated? So, sorry, Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition. So lots to be learned there. For me, in terms of what is important to consider about defining your why, that really builds on what you've said, Jess, is if we understand what truly matters to us and gives our life meaning, or our why, we'll be better able to identify and pursue our purpose work or activities that align with that why. So really, again, going right back to the beginning of our conversation, understanding it at the root will build that foundation that we can then build on and be able to pursue further. And then once we've done that, it will be easier with that North Star to see and feel when the focus of our work or activity isn't aligned with that why, and we'll be better able to course correct far more quickly. So what is your biggest takeaway, or what would you encourage others to consider when defining their why?
For me, it always comes back to paying attention to the energy of your feelings. What feels good to your soul? What makes you happy? And don't take those joys for granted. Cherish them, and you'll begin to see where they fit in your life. I also recommend having fun creating this Ikigai mandala. You can do it mandala style by drawing four circles that overlap one another. And you can also probably look this up and just get a better idea of how to do that. You can also just do a brain dump and write down, number one, what you love. Number two, what the world needs. Number three, what will people pay you for? And number four, what are you good at? And let that help you pinpoint the reasons for wanting the life that you want and what makes your life worthwhile. What would your biggest takeaway be?
I think it builds on what you've just said. And I believe that you can do both of these in conjunction with each other, and they'll help give you some great insight. So first thing I'd say is really spend time on this piece, because it's foundational to everything that you do next. As we learn in meditation, our tendency is to focus on the past or the future and not the present. We find it really hard to sink into reflection and just to be with our thoughts. We're always racing ahead, whether it's in our mind or physically, to the next thing and to take action. But this part is super important, because if we take time to understand what gives our life meaning or our why, and if we're clear on our values, then we can choose activity or work that is purposeful and aligns with those sources of meaning. Dr. Michael Seeger, who is an authority on the science of meaning in life, and he's the founder and director of the Center for Meaning and Purpose, and he's actually the instructor for the course that I'm taking on meaning and purpose. He introduced a photographic method for understanding meaning in people's lives. So I'm very visual, just as you said with the mandala, the visual representation works really well for me. So I found it helpful in understanding my whys, what things are meaningful to me and why they're important. And it's actually how I discovered that one of my whys is beauty, is through this method. So it's very simple. Over the next week, take 9 to 12 photos of things that make your life feel meaningful or full of purpose. They can be people, places, objects, anything that truly matters and contributes meaning to your life. And if you're not able to take photos of these things because they're not nearby, so let's say the people that you would put in those photographs aren't near where you are, you can just look in your photo library for photos that you've already taken, or even go onto the internet and just pull representative photos. But try to take at least 9 photos over the course of the week. And then at the end of the week, once you've collected all your photos, take time to look at and reflect on each one. So what does the photo represent and why is it meaningful? And then the third step is find a friend to share your experiences with, because walking through your thought process can provide you with even more insights and also boost your positive emotions about these sources of meaning as you're talking about them. So for me, that's how I discovered that beauty was one of my whys, is because my photos included pictures of the beach, pictures of flowers that I love. So that gave me the clues to, oh my gosh, beauty is one of my whys. So this process will help you to focus in on literally what makes life meaningful to you. And this foundation and understanding will help you in multiple ways. So first, you'll better understand your whys at their root. You might also see themes and clues to your what's next, whether it's a career pivot, a side hustle, or a new business or focus. And it will help you stay in alignment with what makes your life feel meaningful and more easily course correct when things get out of whack, because they will. I'm currently going through my own challenge of getting things back in sync, because where I'm spending my time isn't fully aligned with what truly matters to me. And I feel that at my heart, because I know now what matters to me. So when things are off, I can feel it literally in my gut. And I may not be able to course correct right away, or it may take some time, but at least I know it. Just like you talked about freedom, you can feel that when you're not aligned with that value and purpose and meaning in life and your why of freedom, and you'll be able to course correct more easily.
It sounds like we are living a moment by moment adventure of recognizing our spark and knowing how to honor it. And I think this is a good place to close our time together.
You've just listened to an episode of Rooted in Purpose with Jess and Tamira. If you like the content within this episode, please subscribe, share with a friend, and join us for the next one.